Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced, although they are trying desperately. Websites for the truth include, and remember these please, HagmanReportLive.com. That's HagmanReportLive.com. There you can find all of our videos, our video programs. Keith Hansen, you can find that there. You can find our popular segments there. Our audio reports there. That's HagmanReportLive.com. Please bookmark that website. And folks, do me a favor. Look, I know this sounds counterintuitive, but please, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Okay? There's a reason for that, and it has to do with algorithms. All right? Now, it's not for monetization. No. And if you get all kinds of ads or whatever, hey, send me the check. YouTube, send me the check. All right. Other website, HagmanReport.com. Their show information material, contributors, articles, articles, our own articles, my own articles. That's HagmanReport.com. Wow. Today is Wednesday, the 26th day of February, 2020. And I've got a lot of information to pass along to you. A whole ton of information. By the way, how did you like yesterday? How did you like Michael Turrell? Whole Tones. My goodness. What an incredible, I thought it was an incredible program. I was talking to him earlier today, and, you know, I kid around with him because he hangs out with, you know, some, I don't know, I'll call him and I'll say, you know, who's this? Oh, it's Billy. Billy Hill. Billy who? Billy Joel! All right. Saturday night's all right for fighting. Yeah. No, I kid around with him because, no, he does have a lot of great information about frequency. He really is a frequency master, and, the music and such. It's an amazing, when I talk to him about 5G and some of the bigger topics, the history of the 440, a setting and such. I mean, man, I'll tell you what. I learned so much. Plus, his products are great. Wholetones.com. That's wholetones.com. $10 off using Hagman as the promo code. It's good stuff. It really is. But today, this is a very important program. And please, I ask that you listen carefully, you watch carefully, and that you spread this among your friends, your family. You save this. Save this episode. I'm going to go in places, go to places that are uncomfortable. They're uncomfortable for a lot of reasons. But it's important that we go here. Leading off today, I want to talk more about Phil Haney. As I said earlier, this weekend was pretty tough for me. And as you're aware, the news of a previous guest of ours, and he's not the first, and I suspect he won't be the last. He's a friend of the program. Phil Haney, of course, if you haven't heard, he was found dead with a gunshot wound. It was very alarming to me. And again, if you haven't heard, maybe you haven't. He's been a guest on the show, and more importantly, a source of information specifically about very specific topics, including the Muslim infiltration into our government under the Obama regime. I won't even call it an administration. I would call it a regime. The intelligence sectors under Brennan. And that includes Mueller, Comey, and others. Phil Haney was one of the nicest men I've ever had the opportunity to meet, and pleasure to talk to, that is. He was a rock solid Christian, man of faith, incredible faith. He was a truth teller. I personally believe that being a truth teller in this instance cost him his life. That's my personal belief. Do I have evidence to that? No, I don't. Not yet. But I think the evidence will be borne out. He was very soft-spoken. He did not suffer fools. I can tell you that. He cared for our country, and he cared for the truth. I've got a couple of video clips I want to show you. They're just a few minutes in length. But I want you to listen to what he said. This is back in 2018. But it's relevant to today. You know, much has been said, much has been written, and it's very easy to find this, about the Hagman Report, specifically, fake news and fake sources. In the event you did not know this, Phil Haney was a source, unnamed source. He worked with others like Glenn Beck and other platforms. The reason I isolated Glenn Beck is because Glenn admitted as much. Phil Haney always traveled with a flash drive. Did you know that? I feel I can say this without issue. Again, Glenn Beck said as much. It's a thumb drive. He often wore it on a chain around his neck. Did you know that? I'm going to tell you, telling the truth can be a hazardous job. You know, one of the other individuals I had a chance to speak with, actually meet in person and speak to, is Frank Serpico. How many people out there know Frank Serpico or know of him? And by the way, I am tired of people. I'm tired of these people on Twitter, social networking, say, "Hey, boomer, you're irrelevant," or, you know, using boomer, short for baby boomer, as this pejorative, like we are irrelevant. Well, junior, you know, who's still wet behind the ears, don't do that. I digress. But Frank Serpico, I spoke with him at the county courthouse one day. We had a great talk. Now, he got shot in the face by his own men because of the infiltration. The corruption was so great in NYPD at that time, he got shot in the face by his own man. Or, I'm sorry, not by his own man, because he got shot in the face, and then when he asked for help, no help was given. Essentially, they walked over him almost literally. Frank Serpico and Phil Haney, in my view, those people who have platforms like this, and I'm not saying, you know, yay us or anything like that. I'm just saying that the people who are trying to deliver the truth, there's an element of danger. I don't want to overstate it. Okay. There's this element of toxicity, even better perhaps, because that toxicity, and I find this to be incredibly insane, is what is hitting a lot of the alternative media and the doers. For example, you may, and I'm going to touch on this because it involves you. Coach Dave Dobmeier going out and talking against transgender issues or infanticide. Look at the blowback he gets, and look at the people who want to disparage him and are disparaging him. Another one, perhaps even more relevant, Craig Sawyer. What I've seen in recent days against Craig Sawyer is just absolutely mind-blowing. Posts and Facebook posts about him that are untrue. I know Craig Sawyer. I know what he does. He's boots on the ground, kick butt, take people down, you know. All right. And you have a couple of, in my view, just crazy people saying crazy stuff about Craig Sawyer. That's just, it's not right. And Russ Barnett too, or Russ Barnett. That was a Freudian slip. Russ Dizdar. People will believe a questionable source over Russ Dizdar. And I know Russ and I were, I mean, we do things together on the ground fighting against some bad, evil stuff. People calling him a satanic pedophile and everything. And you might say, you know what? Those people don't matter. Just blow it off. But what happens is it creates this toxic environment. And I just want to address that. It creates a toxic environment. It creates this question in people's minds. Well, wait a minute. You know, there's apparently, if there's smoke, there's fire. So there must be some issues. And same with us. No. But there's this full bore attack underway right now against all of the truth tellers. And when you can't take them out, you know, permanently, then of course, it's all about just making the platform, arena, person toxic. And that's troublesome to me. And that's happening today. And it's actually, people are siding with others. You know, I look at this and I wonder, what are we in? It reminds me of the Democratic debates like last night. What are we in, sixth grade? Are you on the playground? I mean, seriously? Did you see the debates last night? And this all kind of melds together. If not, congratulations. If you did, my heart's out for you. I mean, my goodness. But see, it's this going for the throat, and it's absolutely mind blowing. I'm not going to spend any time on the Democratic debate because, frankly, I see that as just playground behavior, and it's really not. I don't see that to be relevant aside from what I just mentioned. All right, so, but getting back to Phil Haney, this guy, the man who I believe really was responsible for exposing the Obama regime to the Muslim and Marxist infiltration, exposing, in other words, telling people about this, one of the first, and not stopping when he was faced with 9 separate investigations against him. 9, count them, 9. During his career, he had 9 separate investigations launched against him, one internal with the custom, with the CBP, another one with the Department of Justice, and the third one with the Department of Homeland Security. They looked at him. You know what they're looking for? They were looking for any kind of evidence that he was using his cell phone or other device outside of the secured network. Who does that sound like? That's right, Hillary Clinton, Huma Abedin. And he was one of the first people to really expose the infiltration of the Muslim Brotherhood into our government, as well as Huma Abedin being the conduit. And that's important for you to remember, I believe. So the reason I brought all of this up, number one, I do want to remember Phil. And I don't want to overstate my relationship with him. I don't want to do that. Except to say that he was a source, and he was a great source, and he was a great man of God. Spoke at churches, and but to hear the news that he was found with a gunshot wound to his chest. And some people will say, well, you know, the pressure was too much for him. Now, if you can withstand 9 separate investigations, 3 simultaneous agencies coming at you at the same time, you got the weight of the Department of Justice, Department of Homeland Security, and the CBP coming at you, the Internal Affairs Division of the CBP. Let me tell you something. You have a good constitution. So, that's what I want to mention. But I want to, I'm sure maybe most of you, some of you saw this, and if you did, bear with me, because I want to play this Glenn Beck, what Glenn Beck said. This was earlier in the week, maybe over the weekend, I'm not sure, and my thanks to Glenn Beck, for this. I want to play this, in its entirety, it's about 7 minutes, but it's so important, and I'm going to interrupt it at different times. So if we can play that, because and by the way, I'm getting to something, and hold on, please listen, because I'm getting to a specific point with all of this. Go ahead and play it.
I want to tell you about Philip Haney now, and this is something that I've never really talked about. I've had him on the show before, and I've introduced him as a great patriot, but, you know, and a DHS whistleblower, et cetera, but I never went into Philip and what I know about Philip, because Philip was an important, source for not only me, but others.
Okay.
And
is that right? Did you hear what he said? And just pause that right there. He was an important source for me and others. He was an unnamed source. Now just keep that word in the back of your mind. All right, continue.
My relationship began with Philip 10 years ago. And he is a guy who I didn't even want to meet for a while, because I just didn't want to know anything about him, because I was afraid I would slip and say something and it would put him in danger. He was probably the number one enemy of the Obama administration, I think, inside the Department of Homeland Security.
Okay, if you can
this
pause
is
that
the guy
right there, just
who
for a second. Did you find it interesting the way when Glenn Beck said, you know, he didn't really want to talk to him because why? Well, you know, he could slip and say something that would put him in danger. Folks, that's a source. I'm going to tell you, I'm not talking just to talk here. That's a real thing. Okay. That's a real issue that we struggle with. Those people who are connected to sources, who have people who give us information, you got to be very careful. This is different. This platform is different than someone reading the headlines or just talking about open source information. And I just want to drive that point home, because that's going to come into play when I tie all of this up, okay? This is not saying, hey, did you see what so-and-so posted on Twitter or whatever. This is hard information about things that are happening, going on, that really shouldn't be talked about openly, or at least not in their entirety. All right. Nothing to potentially compromise an investigation, but just the mere fact that some of the stuff is going on, you've got to be very careful. Again, 99%, I believe 99% of the people on the internet don't have sources like this, which I commend Glenn Beck for that. And I like to think that we're in that same league. All right. Continue.
To the Obama administration for telling DHS to purge everything on the Muslim Brotherhood. This is a guy who, until I check with attorneys, I'm not going to tell you all the things that he was involved in with us. But you need to know, America lost a profound patriot. Philip was 66 years old. He was one of the founding members of DHS. He loved the Constitution and America. If we had federal employees that had a quarter of his understanding of what this country was, what it meant, and how close we were on at all times of losing freedoms, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in today. I have been in situations where with Philip to where he knew they were on to him. And the things that he got for us it makes me really angry today that we have a whistleblower, Eric Caramella, who everyone on the left is trying to protect, who we know who he is. We know who he is. And they're saying that his life is in danger. And no, it's not. No, it's not. I want Caramella to testify. I want him to speak. He's not in danger. He's in danger from the left. Because his usefulness is over now. And no one ever spoke about Philip Haney. No one. The media ignored him. No one was looking out for him. He's one of the most honorable men I've ever met. I have so wanted to introduce you to him and tell you about him for a decade. He has been on this show, but you didn't really meet the Philip Haney that I knew. A guy who was willing to put himself in danger, a guy who knew what he was dealing with, knew that he could be killed, or knew that he would be disappeared, or knew that he would go to prison. And he was absolutely unafraid. And this is one reason why I know, why I so strongly feel he didn't kill himself. Phil and I sat in my office a few years ago. And we spoke about God. And we spoke about the country. And that few people had the opportunity to do what he did. And that he felt very alone. But he wasn't. The man knew who he was, knew what time it was, and knew who God was. He was a deeply spiritual man, and a man who understood history and understood his place in it. No man who speaks like Philip Haney did goes off and kills himself. I'd like to ask the police that found his body.
Pay attention.
And deemed it a suicide. If he had a thumb drive around his neck. I hadn't seen Phil for probably a year, maybe 2 years. I'd say hi to him. I'd hug him. And I'd slap him on the chest. He knew what that meant. I was feeling the thumb drive. Because there were documents that he kept around his neck.
All right, you can stop it right there.
I only know.
Folks, if you haven't seen that and the follow-up to that... please, The link will be in the link to Glenn Beck will be in the program description box at Hagmann Report Live. There is a price that truth tellers realize or should realize that, you know, to be paid for this, for telling the truth. When you tell the truth, you have a target on your back or on your front. You're just a walking target. And again, I'm not doing this to overstate the issues or anything, but this is not a game. This is not, what we're doing is not a game. Please understand that. And thank you for your support of this broadcast. Thank you for your prayers. They're much appreciated. But what was that issue? By the way, Philip Haney was coming out and, it was going to be part of the, or was perhaps going to be part of Department of Homeland Security or with a position within the current administration to protect our country. There's three clips, three videos I want to play. I don't know. Hopefully I can get through them. Before the clips, if he can, just put up, Eric, the article from American Thinker, Peter Barichaka, who was on the show on Monday, talked about this as well. Well, there's a new article on by Peter, official investigation into the shooting death of DHS whistleblower Philip Haney continues. So he notes that the sheriff's office, where this was originally labeled as a potential suicide, they're re-looking at the self-inflicted. They've now backed away from that, and they're re-looking at this. Now, of course, every unattended death or suspicious death should be, and judging by this, is investigated as a homicide, despite appearances. And I know this personally. Let me tell you, let me say this again. Okay, I know this from my own personal experience. Sometimes things aren't what they look. Your initial statements, you know, it looks like this, but, you know, ostensibly death occurred because of this, and then you start asking questions. And then you start going back and looking at information, and you say, wait a minute. That's not, wait a second. This isn't what it first appeared to be. And I mention that not just because of my own personal situation, because many, many people out there are taking people like Craig Sawyer to task when he looked at a situation down in near Tucson, south of Tucson. When he first said, well, it looks like this. And then upon further inspection, you realize, oh, wait, there was planted evidence. There was messing with a crime scene. That's right. Oh, that rings very personal to me. But see, it's almost done for a reason, isn't it? And think about this. Just think about that. And think about the damage attempted to be inflicted upon the truth tellers. What better way to marginalize someone? He offed himself. What better way to marginalize a platform by saying, well, this, you know, I'm not going to get into it. But you can see where I'm going with all of this. Peter Barichaka revisits that. And, of course, the link will be in the program description box at HagmannReportLive.com. Official investigation into the shooting death of DHS whistleblower Philip Haney continues. And he cites Teresa Moore Hamilton and others. And he even cites the latest appearance by Phil Haney on our program. And speaking of that, I want to play this. This video is his appearance from 2018, but this involves the specific element that he was looking into, and this will be relevant as I wrap this up. So let's play as much as this as possible, and that's clip one.
Now with us is Phil Haney. Phil Haney, thanks for joining us. Thanks for coming back with us.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
Can we kind of get your assessment of what's going on with what I like to call the soft coup against our government, that is to say the Mueller investigation?
Well, we wouldn't be talking about it right now at all, would we, if Hillary Clinton had become president? Right off the bat, to be thankful for, because I can promise you, having been an insider, that if Hillary Clinton had won the presidency, that most of these issues that we're discussing now more openly, with more confidence and encouragement, wouldn't be on the table at all. We wouldn't be able to find out the first thing about any of it. You know, they wouldn't be looking at Huma Abedin right now.
Oh,
to it as a soft coup.
Yeah, yeah.
This is one of the aftermaths of it. I talked with Michelle Bachmann today. She is we're friends. In addition to her being a former member of Congress, she was the very first member of Congress that gave me an audience back in the spring of 2012. And that set off a sequence of events that led to, at this time, more than 60 briefings to members of Congress in the last, now coming on 5 years. That's basically one a month for the last 5 years. But it all started with Michelle Bachmann. And she was on the House Intelligence Committee at the time. And she just knew, let's say intuitively, let alone factually, that there was something really wrong with this emerging influence of the Muslim Brotherhood within our counterterrorism policy, that they had been saturating into the law enforcement arena, into the political arena, and into the social arena, and having an inordinate amount of influence on our policies, both domestic and in foreign arena. And so she listened to me, and that led to a subsequent sequence of events of briefing members of Congress over the last 5 years. And I talked to her today because in June of 2012, she and four other members of Congress put out, made public letters that they had written to the five different IGs, inspector generals, of the five different branches or agencies of the government closely related to law enforcement. And she asked at that time, or expressed, I should say, in the letters, which you can still find on the web, her concerns about the Muslim Brotherhood, and in particular Huma Abedin, who was, of course, a close aide to Hillary Clinton. And you may remember what happened to Michelle Bachmann. They particularly focused on her, even though she was only one of five members of Congress, and publicly criticized her and condemned her. And I'm including members of the House, Rogers, Boehner, and McCain, and publicly criticized her for having the audacity to even express concerns about the possible links to the Muslim Brotherhood with Huma Abedin. And so I couldn't help it today, going back in my mind to that time in June of 2012 when I was still active duty myself and had provided background information to members of Congress, which is my right to do as a law enforcement officer, to see now 5.5 years later that lo and behold, Huma Abedin is coming back to the surface again. And it's a very surreal kind of form of deja vu to think of where would we have been if we had addressed this 5 years ago. There probably wouldn't have even been an email scandal because we would have nipped it in the bud. But as it was, even our own elected officials, even on the Republican side, intervened in the process of, instead of allowing the Inspector General to address the nature of the concerns that they wrote in the letter, they intruded themselves into the political process and stopped it cold. And essentially, Michelle Bachmann lost her seat in Minnesota over this issue. Huma Abedin is a Rosetta Stone to the whole thing. She's been there all along. She is a very close confidant of Hillary Clinton. And she has been through thick and thin with her. Before she was Secretary of State, all during the time she was Secretary of State, and even till now. And she is firsthand witness of all of it.
Now, she started off, Huma started off as an intern in the White House.
Right. You know what? In the interest of time, you can cut that. It extends for a few more minutes. But the issue here, I wanted to point out was the focus of the current, or at that time, the current focus of investigation. The Muslim Brotherhood, Huma Abedin, and by extension, Hillary Clinton. And at the end of that, Barack Hussein Obama. And it, from that, Brennan, Comey, Mueller at the time under, with Bush, and how all of this was discovered and, by Philip Haney. And what he had done in order to mitigate the damages that were being caused by the upper level of individuals like Brennan, like Comey, like Mueller at the time under Bush, and anyone within the intelligence agencies. So that's why that is so important in context in 2020 hindsight. Okay. Now, you talk about, I mentioned earlier, lawlessness. We are in a position right now today of lawlessness, are we not? Here's from the same day. Here's Philip Haney talking about the lawlessness that we're experiencing. Go ahead.
In relation to this emerging scandal with, or fiasco with, Huma Abedin, what is it likely that she's going to get in trouble for? Putting classified emails on her personal Yahoo account so that she could more easily print them out. When I was investigated 9 times by my own agency, culminating in 3 simultaneous agencies or investigations from the DOJ, the DHS, and CBP, Customs and Border Protection, my agency, Internal Affairs, one of the things that they tried to do was to find out if I had done exactly what Huma Abedin did, which was to send any of my work-related emails over to my private account. Because we are, as CBP officers, prohibited from using our private account, even at work, period. Nor can we use cell phones, our own cell phones, at work, meaning when we're inside the barrier of Customs and Border Protection. So they looked through all of my email and all my phone calls for several years before the period of time when the incidents that they investigated me for, which was related to the Boston bombing, which was April 13th, 2013, to find if I had done it once anywhere along the line, breached that rule, and if I had have done it one time, it would have been over. That would have been all they needed to fire me or even put me in jail. One breach of that commonly known prohibition of sharing classified information on your own personal email account, and they tried to find one case where I had done it. And now we find out that people like Hillary Clinton and Huma Abedin and even my former boss, Jay Johnson, all had their own private electronic devices that they were transmitting emails one to another that were offline of the system. You talk about lawlessness and abrogation of responsibility, integrity, and constitutional duty. That whole structure within the Obama organization was completely lawless.
All right. That's the same, that was from the same interview with Philip Haney. And it's interesting because the first video clip, exemplified the bipartisan politics of professional and personal destruction. How, again, 9 investigations, 3 agencies could be, put on one man, Philip Haney. And of course he came stellar. He was clean. There was no issues there. But the weaponization process is remarkable. It's not new, obviously, but it needs to be noted. The second, the most recent, which you just saw, the lawlessness, the fact that you have Hillary Clinton and Huma Abedin, who, correct me if I'm wrong, but we still haven't seen any perp walks. We know that Wiener's in jail, was in jail. But in terms of any equal justice, we're still operating off this two-tier justice system. Now, I do suspect that there will be people that will be indicted, but at that level, I don't know. Seriously, I don't know. It should have been long past, I mean, we're long past that. But note here the lawlessness mentioned by Phil Haney. And when you start going down that road, you start calling out those people, you're in a whole different world. You're not sitting, you know, on a couch or in a chair or, I don't know, holding a laptop, or you're just not sitting there reading off tweets and dealing with open source information. Now you've got sources, coming back to the word sources, and information that, hey, if you accidentally, you know, you have to be very careful with the information that you are given. Okay, so that's that. So sources. Now, lawlessness. Consequences. The issue is when we, in the alternative media, bring out information that is, that's going to have an impact on people like those mentioned. You immediately become toxic to others. I was talking to a good friend last night, and I had a question. There's some individuals who don't want to appear, seemingly don't want to appear on this platform. Why? Well, Doug, you're a little bit radioactive right now. Oh, really? How so? Well, and this is open source information. Well, you know, your credibility is questioned. Well, how so? Well, you've got bad sources. You've got fictitious sources. How many times have you heard that over the last 5 years? I'm not stating anything that's not open source information. Steve Quayle, myself, we are defendants in a defamation suit the extent of which is the verbosity is incredible. 537 paragraphs, 428 pages, including 43 exhibits. It's the weaponization and the creation of a toxic environment for people to come on our show. We've been accused. Let me get this verbatim. Let me get this right. Hagman's scary, unsubstantiated, and or ultimately false destabilizing news, commonly known as fear porn for profit, clickbait, fake news, and or propaganda, drives large traffic. Making money or continue to generate significant funds from digital monetization, ad revenue by inducing multi-million-dollar interstate and international commerce of merchandise and services, including but not limited to precious metals, books, DVDs, prepper, doomsday survival gear, freeze-dried food. Oh, the horror. Using fear porn to profit, fake news, disinformation, conspiracies, disguised as if legitimate news. This is why I get angry. I like this one too. Contrary to defendants' claims, their high-level insider sources were concealing their identities because they were risking their lives to bring their audiences critical information and real news at minimum. In reality, they use fake names because defendant sources are not who they are impersonating and pretending to be. Tell that to Phil Haney. Go ahead. Tell it to Phil. Tell it to his family. Tell it to you. Go ahead. Yeah, I take it personal. You see how all this is kind of circling around now? And a little bit about that fear porn, a little bit about, oh my goodness, how dare you, you know, fear porn for profit. You know, nothing ever happens. By the way, martial law doesn't exist in the United States. No one's taking your guns, right? Okay. Okay. Sure. Okay. How about this? Let's take a look at what's happening in Italy right now. And can you play, okay. We want you to be prepared. The coronavirus, it doesn't matter. I'm not talking about the legitimacy. Please understand me. I'm not talking about the legitimacy of the coronavirus, where it came from, what it is, what it does, nothing like that. I'm talking about the effect or the impact of talking about it. Of the government finally saying or saying, hey, wait a minute, we got a problem. We're going to have to quarantine people. This is in northern Italy. Have you seen videos coming from northern Italy? Have you seen them? Hey, let me just preface this by saying preparation. Maybe you don't need to prepare. How dare us for even talking about prepping you? Shame on us. Shame on us for, wait a minute. Got to make sure I get this right. For destabilizing, false and destabilizing news. Fear porn for profit, clickbait, fake news, propaganda. Prepper, doomsday, survival gear, freeze-dried food. Using fear born for profit, fake news, disinformation, conspiracy, disguised as if legitimate news. Let's see about conspiracy. Go ahead and play that, if we can. Play that. Current situation. Italy. That's what happens when people run out of food. All right. Get the idea. That's what happens when people run out of food. So by all means, don't prepare. Let's go to clip two, which I think is more visually telling than anything else. Those who suddenly realize, well, maybe I should have prepared. Take a look at this. You see the beginning of the line, Madge? Hello? You got extra coupons? What? That's northern Italy right now. Those people who are preparing because, well, now's about the time to prepare. Look, the reason I mention all of this, it's not funny. It's not funny. None of this is funny. There's nothing funny about this. We are at war. And when I say we are at war, we are at war with people who are attempting to silence the truth. And as Eric the Tech is the man behind the statement, where truth can't be silenced. And I find it very troublesome when I see this disinformation that's out there. That's perhaps creating the environment where you, as a listener, as a viewer, maybe, I don't need to get that extra K can of spaghetti sauce or whatever it might be, or jar or whatever. You know, I don't need to do it. I mean, we got time. Yeah, I'm, maybe you do. Maybe you don't. But don't you dare tell me it's fear porn. Don't you dare tell me that these sources are fraudulent, fictitious, made up. Made up. You don't have any. Really? Lest you think I'm exploiting a man's death, there are many others, and I'm not. Because that's the next thing I'll be accused of. It's not about me, though. It's about how we all act and react and respond. Because right now, the weaponization of all things is that, I mean, it's ramping up. It is ramping up. Everything is being weaponized. But here is my message to you. There are real people putting their lives on the line by bringing you real information. Meanwhile, people out there just making noise and whatever they're trying, I don't even know what they're trying to do, are making this into a very toxic arena, to the extent where you've got to be extremely careful. I believe you do. Where you put your trust. And I thank you for allowing me to come in your living room, your car, your truck, whatever, your diner, your church, whatever, to bring you the best people I can bring you in terms of sources, in terms of information. And Phil Haney was absolutely the best. And I'm going to miss him. We're going to miss him. That's what I wanted to convey to you. You see what's going on? Not with the coronavirus, Italy. You see what's going on with the weaponization of everything. And you see Phil Haney being very specific in 2018, talking about Huma, Muslim Brotherhood, the infiltration, the government infiltration, and then the blowback, the lawlessness. 9 investigations, 3 agencies just getting pounded for doing the same things, or looking at him for what they were doing. It's so important to realize the process here. We have identified, and we are continuing to identify, the process and the weaponization of everything that we see. Everything their weaponization of the legal process, their weaponization of the courts, their weaponization of everything. That's what we're seeing right now. And some will pay the ultimate price. I hope that's not a prophetic, not for me. You know, it's just the ultimate price Phil Haney paid. I believe. That's my belief. Lastly, and perhaps most importantly, 3 minutes. Listen to Phil Haney one last time. Listen to what he says right here. And this should fill us, you and me, with... This is like the... I mean, when I heard this, I thought, man, how great is this? Go ahead and play the last clip.
So there's a social arena, and the catalyst for that, the indicator of progress, if you will, or the battleground, if you want to put it that way, is immigration reform. In the political arena, the battleground, the trigger or the catalyst, is remarkably our relationship with Israel and or the designation of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And the third arena is the law enforcement-military. And the trigger for that one, the catalyst that you can see action in that arena, is the designation of the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. Why did I name those three? Immigration reform, designation of Israel, Jerusalem as the capital, and the designation of the Muslim Brotherhood. Because if we address those are the litmus test indicators that if we get those policies right, everything else will fall in place. Why Jerusalem and why Israel? Because in the social arena, in the political arena, and in the law enforcement arena, there's an underlying principle that I'm hoping and encouraging my fellow Americans to grasp. And that is that the battle that we're in, the conflict that we face, the challenge that we are dealing with, is more fundamental even than the Constitution itself, which is really a legal brief describing the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness that should be self-evident, that was endowed by our Creator. So what we're actually talking about is more fundamental than the Constitution, and what it is sovereignty, the right for a people to choose a form of government that they will live under. And the progressive leftists, the Antifa and the global socialist movement, is a natural ally with the global Islamic movement because both of them are seeking the same thing, which is to alter or abolish the current form of government we have here and replace it with one that is more suitable to their worldview, which in simpler terms is an assault on our sovereignty. They intend to replace our form of government with their own definition of what is sovereign and impose it on us by force if necessary. You know, the Bible counsels us over and over to seek wisdom. And it's the pearl of great price, and that wisdom is more precious and more valuable than any gold or silver.
Amen.
And in each time, so would be the other thing I would encourage. Ask the Lord for the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding that we need to discern the times that we live in, and to not only discern them, not be freaked out by it, but to redeem it. We're called. The reason the Lord shows us things to come is not to scare us, it's to help us be prepared and to share that knowledge with others, to encourage them that as the storm draws nigh, you don't have to be terrified by the storm, that you can find the safe place in that storm, find the shalom in the middle of the storm, and be safe from it.
Amen.
That's the whole of it all.
Is that great or what? Wow. You talk about the Bible being the foundational draw for Filippini and others. For us, I'm telling you, how great was that or is that? And talking about the different arenas of battle, whether it's Jerusalem or the fight, we are engaged in the fight, but it's not, as he said, you know, it's not for, where is it here? You know, to freak people out. We're in a battle. It's not fake news. It's not fake news. It's not meant to destabilize anything. It's meant to prepare. How great was that? Phil Haney, may God, rest in peace, Phil Haney. Listening to the Hagmann Report, where truth can't be silenced. I'll be right back. Stay right where you're at.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Thank you. Exposing the New World Order, you're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network. Stand by. Doug and Joe will be back shortly. Exposing the New World Order, you're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network. Stand by. Doug and Joe will be back shortly.
Am I late for Green Acres? Is it on? Eric, the tech, you should... Oh, I can always DVR it, right? Welcome to Hagman. It's a... I'm kidding around. Welcome to Hagman. It's a Hagman Report where truth can't be silenced. A little levity never hurts, right? Websites, HagmanReportLive.com. You know, that might, Eric the Tech's got something planned. I don't know exactly what it is. He's got something going on, and I got a feeling that might change into like this whole big network thing. I don't know. I'm the last to know. No, just, but HagmanReportLive.com and HagmanReport.com. By the way, I want to thank Peter Barichako for sitting in for me on Monday. He's going to do that again this coming Monday. So mark your calendars tomorrow. Steve Quayle with Robert Griswold. We're going to be taking a look at preps in general. Now, yesterday, and I hope you had the chance to go back and watch that or watch that. Michael Turrell from Whole Tones, wholetones.com, and Hagman, promo code $10 off Hagman. I'm going to tell you something. The information in that, I listened to that again this morning, and I'll tell you something. I heard some stuff that I didn't hear the first time, and I did the interview. So anyway, it's good stuff. Now, with me here momentarily will be Coach Dave Dobmeier. Before I get to him, by the way, hey, did you buy our coffee yet? Hagman coffee? Look, it's got my name on it. And, oh, this is really cool. There's me. Actually, never mind. I won't tell you the story. But Hagman Coffee, HagmanStore.com, HagmanStore.com. Proceeds, significant proceeds of your purchase. Yeah, this is gourmet coffee. And you know what? It ain't Costco coffee. It's not you can buy a lot less expensive coffee. Do so. But proceeds, significant proceeds of this go to Vets for Child Rescue, Craig Sawyer, and Shatter the Darkness, Russ Dizdar, two legitimate organizations who are on the ground, boots on the ground, investigating and combating human and child trafficking. That's right. Not some fictitious entity or entities. This is all done by way of accountants and all above board. So HagmanStore.com. And while you're there, get a cup. Get a little, see the cups? I need the bean. That kind of originated from spontaneous utterance of mine. Oh, and by the way, I want to tell you, when I was talking about my wife in the airport, okay, I exaggerated, as I do, some issues of that. She's not mad at me. It was fun. It was funny when I dropped her off and said, oh, yeah, using her name this week. It was funny. It was fun. She's talking to me. I'm not relegated to the couch. I'm not in the doghouse. I got so many emails saying, you deserve it. Yeah. Come on, lighten up. And speaking of lightening up, and I want to lighten my load of debt. Are you in that position? Look, you know, if you are like most of us, you carry a credit card balance, right? You have balance on your credit cards. Have you looked at the interest rates lately on those? And if those cards come with high interest rates, you need my friends at Lightstream.com. I'm telling you. This is really a great deal. All right. It is easy. It's so easy to lower your interest rate and save with a Lightstream credit card consolidation loan. Get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with auto pay. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are absolutely no fees. And you can even get your money as soon as the same day you apply. And you know, I talk about my neighbor and others that I know who have really benefited by this, by Lightstream. Let me give you one, and I love testimonials. Let me give you one Lightstream testimonial. It goes like this. Finding out about Lightstream couldn't have come at a better time. I've been trying to consolidate my debt for a few months now, but I felt like I reached a dead end. I was listening to my podcast one morning and heard their ad. I wonder who that was. Anyway, everything that was said sounded too good to be true, but at that point, I had nothing to lose. Ultimately, it was true. It was so easy, quick, and convenient. I wish I would have found out about Lightstream sooner. 1,000%. I recommended to everyone. I heard about Lightstream again while listening to one of my favorite podcasts. Quick and easy. That's the testimonial. Isn't that great? Well, here's the deal. Now, okay. Ready? Apply today to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. This is so important. I'm going to spell it out for you. It is LIGHTSTREAM. That is lightstream.com/Hagman. Two N's on Hagman, HAGMANN. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% autopay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. You will thank me later. I guarantee it. Now, the first hour, I hope you understood where I'm coming from in the first hour. It's war. It's war out there. I'm telling you it's war. And every time I think about, well, you know, man, it's getting a little hot in here, or we're taking flak and incoming and all that, I think of Coach Dave Dobmeier, because he says, what do you expect? It's war. I expect nothing less. And if we're not at that point, even if you at home are not at that point, if you're not taking flak, you're not over the target. So with the utmost of respect, I want to bring Coach Dave Dobmeier on for an update of all things Americana. Coach Dave Dobmeier, how are you doing, Coach?
Hi, Doug. I'm doing great, and I want you to know, not blown smoke, I think daily of Joe. I think of Joe Hagman daily.
Oh, thank you.
And really, in a lot of ways, you know, he's a casualty of this war as well, Doug. I mean, we could go into the whole depth and detail of all of that stuff, brother, but I know that when you're engaging in a war, brother, you've already paid a price, and I can't imagine that feeling, but once you know that I have great respect for you and Miss Joe, I'm glad you have that little grandson in his name, but we're at war, brother. We're at war, and we all need to, you know, Jesus told us that we're to count the cost. He says, no man gets halfway through a project, and when he finds out that it's a little tougher than what he thought it was going to be and wants to back out of it, so, man, you got to count the cost before you get into it. And sometimes it costs some of us more than it does others. But I think the Lord is really, really separating the wheat from the chaff. And we're finding out who the real fighters are in this battle.
You know, that's true. I think God is really kind of has his hand on the chessboard, moving pieces around, or on the football field or whatever. And I know that you see this every day. What are you seeing about? I mean, what are you seeing with this?
Well, there's something going on, isn't there? By the way, Doug, I'm growing my beard back. I went through that 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 day period there where I was doing a lot of media interviews, and I just shaved the day before for the first time in like 15 years, and all of a sudden, I'm back on TV a lot, and people say, man, you look like a baby face. You look soft. So I'm in the process now of about a 2-week growth trying to get that thing back on my face.
I just gotta tell you this. I'm not a fan of beards, but you and Steve Quayle. Okay. When you shaved your beard, it was like, oh my goodness, who is that guy?
Yeah.
So you and Steve Quayle, I think, you're okay, but otherwise, I don't know, but no, you look, I'm glad you're,
You should see my granddaughter. You should see my granddaughters when they looked at me. What did Eric say? He's not making fun of me, is he?
No, no. Eric the Tech actually has a beard, and you know, he said thanks. In other words, I didn't include him. But no, he looks without a beard. I would not recognize him, and I probably would be scared. So, yeah. But no, you look good.
Good. My granddaughters, they didn't know what to say when they first looked at me. A little one, you know, she, who is this guy right there? Never seen me like that before. You know, Doug, I had an opportunity yesterday. You know, our ministry, we do a lot of different things in our ministry. And yesterday I got a chance to, I do it about four times a year, speak to a group of seniors at a local high school in a class called Radical Political Science. It's a public school. And they bring, it's for seniors only, and they bring in speakers from all across the spectrum. In fact, 2 weeks ago, one of the speakers in the classroom was Bill Ayers. You know that name, right? The Bill Ayers.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Drove in from Chicago to, he's done it for quite a while in this school system. So they bring in everything. And when I get to go, be a Christian. Isn't that something? I get to go in and be an openly bold Christian. And for those of you who know me or have watched, know that, you know, I don't pull any punches, and I'm not one of those Jesus loves everybody Christians. Not that Jesus doesn't, love of Jesus isn't available to everybody, but I don't lead with that, Doug. And I don't lead with that because the Lord's a man of war. And there's times when we have to be men of war as well in a righteous way. And so I carry that a little bit when I go get in front of those. It was four classes of about 35 to 50 kids. So I made the presentation four different times. And the whole idea of focusing on, I ask them this, Doug. God, I read up on the chalkboard, God, G-O-D. I said, does this matter? Boy, what a jumping off point that was. And not only does this matter, then if they say, yeah, it matters, I made them tell me why it matters. And then I tried to connect over the process of about the 50 minutes I had with each one of those classes. I tried to connect without leading with the Bible. I always wear my cross hat, but I hate people that just lead with scripture. Doug, I can quote it with the best of them.
Yep.
The word's written on my heart. I can go in there. But when you try to convince someone who doesn't believe in the Bible out of the Bible, dude, you're wasting your time, right? So I try to figure out a way to come in and try to win that secular battle about what's going on. And I discovered something yesterday that I really haven't seen. It was there, but you know, sometimes the Lord lets you see things one time that you didn't see another.
Sure.
And there's still a sense of morality. I was struck by a couple things. Number one, this is the generation that's in high school. Remember, these are seniors. Those kids sitting in that classroom are the grandchildren raised by the first generation of Americans who were not totally steeped in the Bible. And by steeped in the Bible, I mean this. Doug, when you grew up, the Bible was a part of everything we did. It was in our schools. The Ten Commandments were on the walls. We all understand Christian morality, and even though you weren't a Christian, you knew that you taught your kids there were certain rules that you obeyed. We all obeyed the same rules.
Very well stated, yeah.
And with the influx of multiculturalism and tolerating everything, we now see the first generation of children raised without that standard. So in other words, we're beginning to see now the children of the baby boomers having children in school. And it's very, very apparent that they were not raised with that same set of common values that we all shared. When we get into what I call the cultural war, that's what it is, Doug. Not do you believe in Jesus or do you believe in Muhammad, or that's not the battle. The battle is a common set of values. And so what I try to do when I go in before those kids, rather than hitting them in the mouth with the Bible, I try to lead them down the very simple question, where does truth come from? Is there such a thing as absolute truth? Or is it, as Oprah would say, you have your truth and I have my truth? And one of the things I discovered yesterday, at least it hit me for the first time yesterday, what I was dealing with, they still have a sense of morality, Doug. They do.
Okay.
But they live in a world where if it doesn't affect them personally, What does it matter? In other words, we grew up, you grew up, I grew up, where if you happen to have sex outside of marriage, I'm talking 1960s, 19, if you happen to do that, first of all, nobody was doing that. But if you did it and you got pregnant, you were ashamed. First of all, there was such a thing as shame.
That's right.
And everybody knew you married the girl.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah,
That was the standard. That was the standard. Of course, that was before abortion and well, the advent of the pill, of course, came along and changed all that. But now we're seeing kids in school who would say, for instance, I used the illustration about somebody, I used abortion. I started talking about abortion. And they would say this, they would say, well, I agree abortion is wrong, but how does it affect me?
Oh.
It doesn't bother me. If she has an abortion, that doesn't bother me. And because of that, Doug, we get away from the whole idea of that there is an absolute right and wrong, an absolute truth. That's what multiculturalism has delivered to us.
You know, okay, so what you're saying there, I just want to kind of piggyback off that because we see this. If you are a man, then you've got no right to dictate or even discuss abortion because, or killing your unborn child because you can't have a child. So you're automatically disqualified
right.
from any
disqualified.
Discussion. So that, okay, yep. And even if you are a woman, hey, if Mary over there kills her unborn child, how does that affect?
Doesn't affect me.
So go away, right?
So, yeah. So then, Doug, I tried to lead him to the truth, and I use this situation here. I say, okay, let's say that what you do in your own personal life really doesn't affect you, and let's say that your dad and your mom have been married, and you're 15 years old, and your mom and dad have been married for 18 or 19 years, and your dad gets hooked on some pornography, starts watching pornography at night, and the next thing you know, he finds himself going and doing things that he normally wouldn't have done, but his porn addiction, whatever word you want to call it, has now caused him to start showing up at strip clubs, and then he starts an affair with his wife. And the next thing you know, this private thing that your dad was doing because it didn't impact anybody else, the next thing you know, your mom and dad are getting a divorce. And let me ask you something. Did your mom and dad's divorce impact anybody?
It depends on who you ask.
Well, they get it, though, don't they?
Yes.
They get it, right?
Right.
And so we have to once again reconnect the idea that everybody's equal, right? We're all – see, they told me that the right to life is a human value. I said, okay, well, I'll buy into that, I guess. It's just a natural value we all have. But
wait a second. The right to life is a human value. I'm not even sure I know what that means, but go ahead.
Well, human value meaning everybody has the dignity to be able to live. They all believe that. I took them through an exercise. I said, okay, let me ask you, how many of you think murder is wrong? Well, everybody raises their hand. I say, well, what's murder? Well, they don't know what murder is. They said, well, it's killing another person. I said, no, you watch CSI. Yeah, kill people. You see people getting killed all the time. It's not murder one. Sometimes it's manslaughter. Sometimes it's a lot of different things. People die. People get killed. It's not all murder. What's murder one? And then so they say, well, murder one is I finally lead them down that path quickly. It's a premeditated. And everybody agrees with it. They all raise their hands everywhere, you know. I said, good, good, good. Okay, I said, if murder is a premeditated killing of an innocent human being, why is abortion legal? Wow. It goes silent for a minute. Now, I know where the argument's gone because I've done it so many times, right?
Sure.
I know where the argument's going to go. And after a while, somebody will say, well, it's not a baby. It's a blob of tissue. It's a compost cell. We know the argument, right, Doug?
Right. Yep.
We know that. And I said, isn't that interesting? That's the same argument that they used against the blacks. And I have a black kid stand up in the classroom and say, what's your name? He said, my name's Tommy. I say, hey, Tommy, they used to lynch.
Right.
They lynched your maybe members of your family. Your ancestors were probably lynched. Why were they lynched, Tommy? And lead them around to where they say, well, because I've seen its property. I wasn't really a human being. Yeah, yeah, that's right, Tommy. And how many of you in here know about the Nazi Holocaust? And what did they do in the Holocaust? Well, they burned Jews in an oven. They burned them in an oven. Well, why did they burn Jews in the oven? And every once in a while, some smart kid in class will say, well, Hitler said they weren't human. They start to get it, right? They start to get it. And I said, well, what's the argument they use in abortion?
They're not human.
Huh?
There you go.
I said,
so
therefore, there are some absolute truths. How many of you believe in absolute truth? And they ponder for a while. No, there isn't any such thing as an absolute truth. And blah, blah, blah. And finally, some kid in the back raises his hand and says, water. So what? He said, water. H2O. Always is water.
Okay, I can't wait for this. Now it's a party. Go ahead.
So then I said, okay, well, what happened about, what about ice? What about ice? Well, they said, that's still water. I said, well, what about steam? I said, that's still water. So in other words, a combination of H2O is always water. Always water. Yeah, that's an absolute, isn't it? Doug, then I twist him into Bruce Jenner.
Uh-huh.
Bruce Jenner. Tell him Bruce Jenner was... He was the man. He was on the Wheaties box, even though they don't know what the Wheaties box was. I said, he was on the Wheaties box, and he was on Sports Illustrated, and he was the world's greatest athlete, and he ran a decathlon. They don't even know what that is. I'm trying to explain to them what the decathlon was. And I said, at the end of the day, Bruce Jenner was the world's greatest athlete. Can somebody tell me how he became Caitlyn Jenner? It just boggles their mind, Doug. It boggles their mind because they have, I'm telling you, we are raising children with the situational ethics with the inability to A, B, C it. They cannot do it. Very few of them can.
Remind people, if you don't mind, the age group that you were addressing.
They were 17, 18 years old, seniors in high school.
All right.
And I tried to warn them. I said, you're going to leave here next year and you're going to go to college and they're going to tie you even more than, they're going to tie you more of a knot. And one of the girls, she raises her hand. Fascinating. In one of the classes, the teacher told me before, there's four different classes now. One of the teachers told me in the last class, he said, about half the class is atheist. I said, what? I said, yeah, they're self-prescribed atheists. So when the fourth class comes in, he asked them, how many of you are atheists? And probably half of the 25, 30 raised their hands. I couldn't believe it. At that age, you would be identifying yourself as an atheist. And so one of the girls, feminists, they're the worst. I'm telling those young feminist girls, they're the worst. One of them, she's rattling off her chops about something, Doug. And when she got done with it, she had the most, she just had the most know-it-all look to her when she was doing 17 years old, right? Thinking I'm an idiot. And when she gets done with it, she was waiting for me to respond. And I just looked at her and I said, sweetheart, that's gibberish. What you said is just gibberish. I'm not even going to respond to it. And Doug, the boys in the room, wow, you should see the enthusiasm because they had never heard anybody put that girl in her place like that. You know what I'm saying?
Did she retreat to her safe space or what happened?
Well, she wanted to, right? But there wasn't any safe place to be able to run to. So as I'm telling you all those stories, folks, we have got to begin to understand the urgency of the time in which we live, and we need to begin to engage young people in particular with truth. Not tell them what the Bible says, not tell them what Jesus says. Find out where they are in the midst of their argument and knock the blocks out from their argument. It's so easy to do. I use the illustration with King Tut. I said, how come King Tut's not Queen Tut? How do we know she's Queen Tut? She can't identify herself. We don't know what gender was. Did they just somebody decide it was king? Well, no, it's DNA. What's DNA? It's science. It's absolute truth. We have such a boy, buddy. I'm telling you, they are so ripe. Number one, to be picked, taken in the right direction, but they're so ripe to be drugged the wrong way too. And it's it's not an encouraging thing to watch, Doug.
Well, okay, and it's interesting because you had said that weeks before Bill Ayers, the domestic terrorist, self-admitted, came to speak. Are we making? Are we collectively making a difference with our young people, or are we not trying as we should?
You know what I think it is? I think we made some really, really bad assumptions about what our children believe, and I hate to hurt everybody's feelings. We are being destroyed by government schools. Public schools are destroying our kids, Doug. They're destroying them. They're destroying them with gibberish is what it is. And, you know, I understand all the battles we fight and everything that's going on and how hard it is to make a living and two parents and three kids. I get all that stuff. But, brother, when we send our kids into government schools, we shouldn't be surprised when they return to us little Romans. And so that's what I think it's very, very destructive. And I really don't know the answer to it other than homeschool. And that's becoming more and more popular. But I'm afraid, Doug, if we don't stand up and fight, they're going to remove from us the ability to even be able to do that.
Have government-run schools increased the rhetoric of the PC rhetoric over the years, or have they changed, or has the morality within our own families changed, or is it both? I mean, what is it? Specifically,
I think we as parents, me I'm talking to now, have been specifically negligent, not on purpose, right? We loved our kids more than we loved the Lord in a lot of situations. By that I mean our fealty, our loyalty to Christ, to right truth. That we knew that we needed to teach our children those things. We compromised on those things, Doug, and we allowed our children to waver off of the ranch and begin to believe stuff just because we didn't have the courage or whatever it was to drag our children back and say, no, no, you will not do that. No. And I think we're beginning to see as parents, as we allow our kids grow, we have three children. Our oldest is 37. We have a 35-year-old and a 31-year-old, I think. They're adults. But I sit around every day and I look at every chance I get to see him, I said, oh, Lord, I wish I had that to do over. I wish I could have do that one over again because I didn't understand the importance. Like our baby daughter, she's 31. She had the grandkids over the other day, and she was really – I mean, she's she's a commandant, I'm telling you, with her little kids, you know, which is good to see. And I said to her – I pulled her aside. I said, man, ease up. Ease up. Pick your battles. You know what she said to me? She said, Dad, if they don't learn to obey me, they'll never learn to obey God. And I thought, wow.
Okay, that's refreshing.
That's it, isn't it? Isn't that it? And the respect and the fear and the respect and fear and love of God and love of a parent ought to go hand in hand. And we haven't done a good job. We're more interested in making our children healthy, wealthy, and wise, happy, and go lucky. And that's one of the reasons I think we've lost some of our values. I'm as guilty as everybody else, Doug. I was a public school teacher for 30 years. I should have stood up and screamed and hollered more at the teachers union and fought back against the, you know.
I'm sure we all have those moments that we should do over again or wish we could do over again. But one thing you stated, and I think it's really important, you know, we show videos of Antifa, you know, these snot-nosed, green behind the ears kids throwing water on or throwing things at speakers and conservative speakers and, you know, just being malicious in their protests, even disrespectful to other people, to authority. So we show all this, but we don't talk about really a lot of times. We don't talk about the reasons why they're doing this. I mean, they're doing it because
they're violating the commandment: honor thy father and mother. Doesn't say love them,
right?
Doesn't say love them. And I'm amazed, as I'm sure you are, to see the way I see some children speak to their parents.
Oh, yeah.
And as a result, Doug, it we lose a respect for authority. We lose a respect for authority. And that's been a slow creep. I think the culture has a lot to do with it. But again, I think we as parents and churches and the church community, think of the things that you see go on inside of a church that, boy, when you were growing up, you'd have never seen it. would have never happened, right?
No, you see this cultural or this moral decline too, cultural moral. And yet, you know, it's the younger, people, I think have, and maybe it's because of us boomers, right? First hour, I said, I don't like that used as a pejorative because most of these people who use that are the very people, you know, the very young people you're talking about who are disrespectful to everything. But yeah, you know, I mean, look at how we treat our places of worship. Look, I mean, look at how these young people dress. I sound like my dad now. Look at how they dress. You know, I mean, but dress is respect. You've got to respect others and respect institutions and respect tradition. So, and we're not seeing that.
So Doug, if I can double around or come in on the back door on something I don't really want to focus a whole lot on, but I think it's important that we bring it up. As you know, the whole thing I went through with the idea of suing the NFL, and yes, we are still pursuing that, and yes, it's far more complicated than what we thought it would be, and whether we were going to sue the NFL or the FCC. Or, I mean, there's a lot there, Doug. But one of the things that I've learned throughout this battle is, again, it comes back to the same thing. Is there's very, very little respect. Very little respect. See, they took what was her name? Shakira, whatever, and J-Lo. And once again, they asked the question, how does her performance impact you, coach? Turn off the TV, right? Turn it off. Okay. And we don't understand the slow blow by blow by blow destruction of everything decent, whether we want to admit it or not. And this has been my stance, where after the media did all they could to make me look like a flaming fool. It's part of the battle, isn't it, Doug?
It is.
I circle back to this very, very question. Is pornography destructive or not? Is it destructive? Hey, church, we're going to have to make a decision. Is pornography destructive or not? And if pornography is destructive to the point where the Lord himself said it'd be better for me to poke my eyes out. Didn't he say that, Doug? Yeah. I'm pretty sure he did, that I ought to poke my eyes out rather than look at that stuff. And we've become so – everything's become so watered down that now I hear Christians uttering the exact same thing that non-Christians are uttering is just turn it off. That's not the point. That's not the point. There are such a thing. I could say to somebody, well, just don't pull the trigger, right?
That's an interesting comparison, yes.
Just don't text. Just don't go left of center. Well, the reality is, even if I turn off the TV, this stuff is impacting other people. And pornography is an unbelievably destructive drug, Doug. They say it's more destructive than crack cocaine, any other drug, sends off these endorphins in our head. And I couldn't figure out why just me making a stupid video in my car set off such a firestorm. It's because it is over the target, buddy.
That's right.
It really is. You know, pornography, looking at pornography, among other things, puts a deep, deep guilt in the heart of a man. Really, really does. And though men sit around and look at it at night and try to hide it from their wives or whatever, they know it's not right. They don't know how to get out of it. And I think back to that, what I saw at the halftime of the Super Bowl. And you know, Super Bowl's all the commercials, Budweiser commercials and pizza commercials and hamburger commercials and car commercials, because they're all trying to market all these things that they want you to buy. And then at the halftime of the show, what do they market to us? Crotches. Mm-hmm. Right? They market crotches to us. Why did they want to market crotches to us? Well, they wanted to market crotches because they're trying to sell something to us, aren't they? And isn't it ironic that at the Super Bowl, child trafficking is a big, big deal.
Exactly.
And so what's happened to us is we have allowed the culture to become the salt of the church, the salt of our life. I said this, I was at a gathering of some people last week, serious folks. And I'm sitting around, I'm listening, and they're talking about the gay agenda doing this and blah, blah, blah. They're using all the buzzwords. And I said, wait a minute. There's problem number one. When did we start using their language?
Thank you.
Why do we use their language?
And it's not the gay agenda. It's the homosexual agenda.
It's the homosexual agenda.
Right. And that's more scientifically accurate, by the way. But yes.
And it's sodomy, which, by the way, is in the scripture. It's in the scripture.
Yep.
Yet if you use that as a Christian in today's society, in today's culture, it will be Christians who will attack you for saying that you're not being very Christian for using a word that is in the scripture. You with me, buddy? You with me?
I am.
And so, So the war is subtle, is it not? It starts, it's a war of words and attitudes and feelings. Feelings. I don't want to say something to somebody who's dabbling in sodomy because I might hurt their feelings, while at the same time, the homosexual mafia, as I call them, are doing everything they can to destroy everything Christian. Are you picking up what I'm laying down, Doug?
I am, indeed.
So we got to figure out, are we at war here or are we not at war? And I think that's a great conflict that's going on inside the American church. Are we at war? What does it look like? And I'm somewhat ostracized. That's why I enjoy coming on here, because you get it. We're at war. We're at war. And because we're at war, we got to fight like we are.
Yep.
It's tough. It's tough for us to get over that hump. We don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. So listen, man, they're trying to recruit those transsexuals are trying to reach your children at drag queen story hour in your library. Come on. And you're worried about hurting their feelings, but that's the masterful job that the enemy has done to confuse us.
But, you know, I remember back the Obergefell decision in the Supreme Court. I remember you saying, and you said this publicly and privately, you said, you know, they're not going to stop there. They're not going to be satisfied with this. And now we're seeing drag queen hour at the library. We're seeing all of this, the soft porn twerking at the, you know, Super Bowl. But that drag queen hour especially, you're seeing this agenda grow wide and grow deep into society, into our lives. And you're right. You know, I can guarantee, I've seen it, commentary about your objections. Well,
they were wicked to me.
Yeah, you better check, Dave Dobmeier's history on a browser history. I guarantee you there's junk there. You know what? I guarantee you there's not. Because, you know, you might be a, anyway.
It's irrelevant anyway, isn't it, Doug?
Well, according to, by their standards, yeah.
Even if I have pornography on my browser, it don't make it right.
No, right? It doesn't.
That's true. It's wrong. Yeah. That's right. So we have to stay on topic. It still happens to be wrong, right? And if we're going to win this cultural war, then we have to be on the, I told the kids yesterday, they gave me examples of this. Well, slavery. How could we go through, America be here 100 years of slavery, holding down black people bad? How can we call ourselves a Christian nation when that kind of stuff happens? And I said, well, just because people practice Christianity in the wrong way doesn't make Christianity bad. It makes their practice of it bad. And we have to understand that it cost about 600,000 American lives to do away with it. So ultimately, we righted the ship. See, Doug, this is so deep. This whole thing is so deep. And I try to take him. Folks, we're so miseducated. God help us. We're so miseducated. And I took him to the whole idea of every moral decision. Again, the kids, I'm back to the kids in the classroom. Take him back to the idea that every great moral decision made in America in my lifetime was a decision by a court. And the courts don't make law. And I reached in my pocket and I carry a $50 bill every once in a while. I had one with me yesterday and I said, I'll give anybody in this room $50 if they can show me the law that legalized the killing of unborn babies. Can somebody show me the Roe versus Wade law? And they're stumped. I said, that's 1970. That was 1973. That was one. Let's get a little bit closer. Can somebody give me the $50? Somebody give me the law that legalized gay marriage? I got 50 bucks for somebody. And they're stumped. And I said, well, listen, those are Supreme Court decisions. These courts don't make laws. We're living under pretended legislation, and then began to rattle down a few other things. And slowly but surely, you plant a little bit of truth inside the minds of some of them, and eventually, Doug, they're going to get it. And I've picked up on this, Doug. That's why the left is so nuts right now. It's all about the courts. It's all about the courts. Yep. If Trump wins, did you just see this? He won a decision in the 9th district.
He did.
That's never happened in my lifetime, right? He's totally flipped that district, the worst one, the most liberal of all, through his federal court appointees. So they're smart enough to say, my goodness, if this guy gets four more years, I don't know, Dizzy Ginsburg, I don't know how long she could, Ruth Buzzy, I don't know how long she's going to be able to carry on. I don't know. And so they're smart enough to see that their power base, which was and has been the courts, is rapidly slipping out of their fingers, and they're greatly concerned about it. That's where the battle lies. Courts don't make law. We have to waken people to understand that. And if we do that, we have some modicum of success. We'll have some modicum of success of winning back this land. But, Doug, we foremost believe that we can. And I don't know how many Christians really believe we can win.
And you make a good point. But, by the way, about the courts, Soros and his organizations, along with the some others on that, they're pushing, as you said, the battle is local. They're pushing money into local races, including and especially the courts, the elected the positions on a local level to socialize the courts. And so you're exactly right.
That's why it's so important for us from an educational point of view. That's what I got home yesterday, Doug. I could keep a lot of balls in the air. It's just the nature of my life. I tell people I'm a fire starter. I go around and try to ignite fires and then get somebody to pick up the ball and run with it. I came home yesterday and I said to my wife, daggone, I ought to be doing that full time. That's what I ought to be doing right there. Just destroying the lies of the enemy in an environment where it really, really does matter. Had a lot of kids came up to me afterwards. It's sad, Doug. It's really sad. They came up to me afterwards and they thanked me for being there and they thanked me for the arguments that I made. And I said, well, why don't you speak up more? We need to stand up with truth. You got to speak it. And number of boys looked me dead in the eye, Doug. And they said, listen, I'd end up in the guidance counselor's office. Mm. We're not allowed to say those things. We're not allowed to say it. And, you know, this whole idea of censorship, which you're fighting and I'm fighting and Quayle's fighting and everybody's
fighting. Yeah, we're all
It's
in.
All the way down through, isn't it, Doug?
Yep.
It's all the way down through. And what we see is happening is our young kids now, they're expecting the censorship. One of them I said yesterday, first of all, before you call me a bigot or you call me a racist or you call me a homophobe, I got one question for you. I said to these kids, am I allowed to be one?
Wow.
Am I allowed? I'm the United States of America. Am I allowed to be a bigot?
Haven't heard that question posed like that. Yeah, sure. Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
You guys are all for tolerance and diversity and everybody being able to, right? All right. Am I allowed to be? Because ultimately that's where we have to start, isn't it? Isn't it?
Right.
And the Christians in particular, we hear that bigotry, racist, homophobe. We hear those terms come at us more and more and more. And so instead of me apologizing and always saying, no, I'm not, I simply have started saying, am I allowed to be?
And their response has got to be, unequivocally, sure, you are in America.
No,
you,
right? No, it's a middle finger. That's what.
Oh, really?
Right? Because they can't argue with it, right?
Right.
Of course you are, right? So I said, who's trying to control you with how you think and the values that you have? I'm talking to these young kids again.
Right.
Who's going to try to control you? Because it's going to be like that all the way through your life. And who taught you right from wrong? And it comes back to the truth, Doug. That's where our battle is. By the way, I was blown away last night. I listened to your entire show. My wife and I sat on the couch last night and listened to your show on whole tones.
And it was something.
I talked about it on my show today. I showed a segment of it on my show today because at the very beginning of when he started to talk, about the 25-minute mark, he said what I've been saying for years. It's about the truth.
It is
about the truth.
Yep.
Didn't he say that, Doug?
Yep.
I thought, are you kidding me? Because that's what it is. And, folks, the truth, as Michael said last night, it stands alone. It doesn't need all this stuff propping it up and, you know, my belief and my thought and tolerance, it doesn't need any of that. If it's true, it doesn't need anything. And so we have to begin to return to that. And his, I mean, he went into the diatribe about the power of God and opening your mouth and speaking. And believe it or not, we've been talking about that on my morning show. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Somebody else is saying it. That God said in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was void without form, darkness on the face of the earth. And God said, when God said, something happened, didn't it, Doug?
Yes, it did.
And the Bible says, the words that I say unto you, they are spirit and they are life, right? It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we're smart enough to, like right now, my wife always tells me every time I come on your show, she always tells me this when I'm done. She says, man, I'll tell you one thing. You sure bring some energy to that show. She says it every time, Doug. Not that she's poking fun at yours. But understand this, right? That is real. That energy's real, isn't it?
Absolutely.
But yep. The enthusiasm, if something comes out of my mouth and you watch it and it, boom, it gets in you, right?
That's
it
right.
It is. There are waves. It is contagious. You walk into a room where everybody's down and defeated. Ooh, say, I want to get out of here. Ooh. And I've walked into rooms with my wife, and I go in there, and they're all stuffed shirts. You know that kind, don't you, Doug?
Yep.
They're all stuffed shirts, and I go in there, and I behave the best I can that I can. I say, ooh, did you feel that? Right? So when Michael was talking about that stuff last night, man, my heart's pounding out of my chest. I said, yes. Yeah, that's why. Listen. Oh, I'm feeling it now. Give me a minute here, Doug. That's why our culture's so messed up. That's why we have so many snowflakes. Stay with me. Used to be, hey, Doug, you send me a text right now. I don't know. You send me one, and I look at my text, and I read the text. And sometimes I'm wondering, is he kidding? What does he mean? You with me, Doug?
Uh-huh.
What does he mean by that? And so I'll think about it a while, and then I'll text something back to you based on what I think you said to me. And it might have been totally wrong because there was no emotion there, right?
There's
no emotion. So I couldn't get the spoken word out of that. I couldn't spit the spoken word. And what we're seeing happening in America is people are hiding behind their cell phones. They're Facebook warriors. They get on Facebook and they say mean things, and they send text messages and they say mean things. But when you come face to face with them, they ain't got nothing to say.
Yeah.
Right? Why? Because the power of the spoken word. And we are in the mess that we are in America today because they have shut our mouth, Doug. They shut our mouth. And we don't understand that that is where the power comes from. When we speak, things happen. And so they're doing the very, very best to control what it is that comes out of our mouth because it is power. The words I say to you, they're spirit. And they're alive. So, you know, you go to bed sometimes at night and you lay your head down on that pillow before you turn on your whole tones, which, by the way, I do. He's not paying me anything to say it. I do.
Right.
And, you know, my whole day kind of replays in my head, doesn't it? The stuff. And you lay your head on your pillow and it kind of says, glad to get that one over, right? Because why? There's energy. Everybody you come in with, they're planting something inside of you. And then we took it in Christianity and we really messed it up and we made it name it and claim it, right?
That's right.
Oh, my goodness, the misuse of the word. And so I think it's more important that those of you who have young children out there, don't let them use these things. Make them come to you and look at you eyeball to eyeball and tell you what you think. Because if I'm in a conversation with you like we are right now, Doug, and you say something to me that ticks me off, I ain't got much time to think about it. I have to respond.
Right? Right.
If you send me a text, I could sit on that thing a couple days before I respond to it, plan out my whole response and everything like that. And because of that, we're not as quick on our feet to respond and to react to some of the attacks that we hear coming in from people. That's my take on it. I think there's really, really something to it. And I think that the enemy is doing everything he can to silence our voice. And by our voice, Doug, I'm not talking text messages.
No.
I'm talking otherwise.
And you know, to not only silence us in areas where they can silence us, to modify our language, as you pointed out, and to redefine what truth is. You know, I think that so many levels of battle that we're engaged.
So I left yesterday, $100. I pulled out $250s. I actually took them with me because I knew I was going to do it. I pulled out $250s. I said, okay, last period of the class, $250 bills. I said, here you go, $100. Did anybody tell me anything I said today wasn't true? It's awesome, right?
Did you walk out with it? You walked out with
I walked out bills. With my money, yeah. Brother. I walked out with my money. Now listen, they disagreed with it, didn't they?
Yes.
But they couldn't deny it because I'd use logic, facts, evidence, proof. That's what I used.
Right.
And it's foreign to them because now it's all Oprah land. Whatever you feel, whatever you feel, Bruce Jenner feels he's a woman and I feel like a woman. Dun, dun. Well,
yeah. Eric, the tech just whispered in my ear. I wanted me to ask you, was your talk monitored?
The teacher's there.
Any feedback from the teacher or blowback or anything?
Oh, I never blowback. I've been going there. God bless them. It's two different schools that I go to, and they always stand their ground. They always support me. They love it when I had a bunch of kids came in from the last semester, came in again yesterday because, Doug, they've never seen – can I say this in a way that everybody's going to understand? They've never seen a Christian man who doesn't take any crap and doesn't apologize for it, right?
Yeah.
I don't try to be mean. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean, but if you're going to say something foolish, I'm going to tell you that's gibberish.
Right.
That's foolishness. I'm not going to worry about their feelings if the battle is for truth. And so there is a manhood element. I could go for a month talking to you.
I love it, and I could listen to you for a month because it's
toxic femininity, Doug.
Yes.
I bring that up. Oh! Now the boys start cheering in the background because they're afraid. The boys are afraid of the girl. I'm just telling you, folks, I'm there. The boys are intimidated by that Jezebel spirit sitting there. They're afraid to say anything back there. And then, you know, toxic masculinity, you can say that stuff all day. But when I say to a girl, you're out of line, that's toxic femininity. Woo! Nobody goes there. But we have to start. We have to start going there, buddy. We have to start going, saying you're out of line. you're out of line.
Are you willing to go to others? I'm sure yeah. School teachers or administrators are going to hear this. You willing to go elsewhere to talk?
Oh, yeah. But they got to, Doug, I do it in a very, very respectful way. I mean, I do. And I keep bringing them back to truth. I said, yeah. Dude, you're allowed to believe that. Just because you believe that, that doesn't make it true. Right?
Right.
Bruce Jenner says he's a woman. Now, listen, if you think Bruce Jenner's Caitlyn, ain't something wrong with Bruce Jenner. There's something wrong with you.
That's true.
Why would you possibly believe that? You got DNA, XX, XY. Yep. You don't think away XX and XY. And I said, it's an inalienable right that cannot be taken away from you, right? And I said, a black man, every black man I ever knew in the world was black except for Michael Jackson. And he turned white, but he's still black because his DNA says he's black. Now, are you going to believe the truth or are you going to believe your feelings? Because your feelings will deceive you. And if you're going to try to operate and live your life based on your feelings, I promise you the truth will be lost somewhere in the middle. And I'm here today to tell you the truth, and you're not going to like it, because you have a feeling-based system that you try to make your facts support. And it ain't going to work, at least not as long as I'm here.
Amen.
It's invigorating, Doug. We need it in our churches. We need it everywhere we go. We are losing. We are so polite. So polite. I use this line. I feel like I'm dominating here.
No, please. Sorry. Please do.
Because when I get in my studio, it's my show, you know.
So that's right.
I can say what I want. Great football coach Woody Hayes. Never forget it. I heard him as a young coach. I went to one of his football clinics. I'll never forget it. I was probably 21, 22 years old. And Woody said, I've never seen a football player make a tackle with a smile on his face. That's me, dude.
I love it. Yeah. Right?
Are we at war?
We're at war. Yeah.
Then I'm going to quit smiling. I'm going to start fighting.
And we need to, in my view, we need to adopt that, that posture, take no prisoners approach and get serious about this. Because if we, you know what, Coach, you said this many times. I mean, if we don't start doing something right now, we're going to lose the next generation. And I believe that, with all my heart, that we need to get off the bench and start playing the game, get some skin in the game, as you often say. And
you can't teach what you don't know, and I told you earlier in a conversation that we had, as we were setting this interview up, I said, I feel like this in my life a lot of times, and you probably do too, Doug. I'm on Normandy Beach.
Yeah.
And everybody else is in the Pentagon still, I know that I'm right. I know that what I'm doing is effective. I know that it works. And I know that others are still behind me, but that's okay. I'm on the SWAT team. I'm one of the first guys in on the beach. I'm doing the hand-to-hand combat that needs to be done. And I just pray at some time that the Pentagon sends some reinforcements. Cause I'm telling you, brother, when we stand on truth, we will win. We will win.
Absolutely. And we can war game this every day, all day long, but until we actually get on the field or get on the beach, we're not going to make any differences.
So, we're not going to. And right. So you get into some of the things that you're dealing with. I know, hey, Doug, if everybody would just come and sit down at the table and everybody tell the truth, some of these problems would go away.
Absolutely.
We get lawyers, and what's the lawyer's job? The lawyer's job is to make truth look like lies and lies look like truth. And that's the world that we find ourselves in. And unfortunately, it's now bled out into the general society and the general culture. And people believe truth, as Oprah would say, is your truth. It's only what you believe, and that's where the battle lies.
Amen.
I don't know how much long we have. Longer.
Well,
we have.
We're about right about the end of the show. We got about a couple of minutes left, 2 minutes left. Anything that you need to tell us, like where you're going to be, perhaps, or anything to promote, anything to whatever. You get the last two minutes.
I'm a lot of places. A lot of it's spur of the moment. We are actively. I just hate to always do this. I don't always do this. We're actively engaging the NFL, Doug. I was on a show. I can't remember where it was. I asked 1,000 people to send us $50.
There you go.
You hear what I said, folks? 1,000 people, if they sent $50 to us, we'd have $50,000 to go sue the NFL. I've got lawyers already working on it, right? But as you know, you can't win this battle without money, right?
Listen,
we will win this one. We'll win this one, but we have to fight it smart. We have to take some finances to do it. So if you feel so led, 1,000 people across America, I can get 1,000 people to send $50 to us. CoachDaveLive.com, all the information is there. We are in not constant, but we're communicating with attorneys. We're going to fight. I'm going to make this prediction. This will be the last Super Bowl we will ever see, like Super Bowl halftime show like we just saw. This will be the last one. It's not going to happen again. And it's going to happen, not going to happen again, because we're going to stand up and fight back and push back. And if 1,000 people send us $50, that'll be $50,000. I'll hand it to our attorneys, and they'll start whacking away. We're going to win this thing.
And just so people understand, this is not a gimmick. This is not
It's not a gimmick, brother. No. I promise you, it's not a gimmick. No.
And knowing what I know, which I got to tell you, this is a valid, legitimate, absolutely righteous cause. And folks, look, Coach Dave Dubmeier, I mean, he's the first out on hurricanes. He's the first out on, I mean, if there's a problem, he's there, boots on the ground, as he said, SWAT team. So please.
Doug, we're trying to raise up an offensive team, right?
Yep.
I'm tired of getting my butt suit off, aren't you? Aren't you tired of it?
Yeah.
Can we do that too? Do we get a chance to swing the bat here at some point? That's all I'm saying. And so let's get engaged and let's go use the enemy's weapons against him. What's the weapon? Legal system. They've sued us into oblivion. They've taken over America by the judges, right?
Yep.
Come on, man. Let's get on the offensive and let's see if two can play this game. That's my heart's cry, and that's what I'd like to try to do. Doug, there's no shame in losing, brother. The noble part of the battle is the battle itself. Let's show up and fight and give God a chance to do something miraculous.
Amen, my friend. Thank you. And folks, please, CoachDaveLive.com, CoachDaveLive.com, bookmark the website, and hey, support Coach. He's on the front lines.
Doug, we have a great show too, man. Folks, we have a great show. Listen, so, it's in the morning. You don't have to watch it in the morning. But, you know, if you're working out and do that kind of stuff, go to Coach Dave Live. It's manly. It's manly gospel combined with the issues of the day. A lot of you like it. A lot of you don't like it. But if you like what you're hearing here, I do it every day. It's all free. Come and join it, man. We've got to raise up an army.
We do. And by the way, I love the format that you have, Coach Dave Live, you know, the huddle in the morning. I love it. So, all right, brother. Thank you. We are out of time. God bless you, man. Thanks for coming on.
Awesome, man. Sure appreciate it, Doug. Appreciate all you guys do.
Thank you. Folks, that was Coach Dave Dobmeyer, CoachDaveLive.com, a man of God, a man of integrity, a man that I look up to and you know, whose words resonate with me. I think about what he says all the time, you know, hey, it's a war. What do you expect? Quit your whining. And, you know, no, I mean, seriously, he really is, I believe, America's coach, or should be America's coach in the Christian arena. CoachDaveLive.com, Coach Dave Dobmeyer. What a great guy. CoachDaveLive.com. Hey, that'll do it for me tonight. Tomorrow, Steve Quayle, Bob Griswold. I can't wait for that. Steve Quayle's got a lot to say. It's going to be fun. Until tomorrow, God bless.